Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. I would like to read the first verse in this chapter. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 1, reads, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. When Martin Luther was brought before the authority at Worms with his life endangered to answer charges of heresy and to be given the chance to recant, he at first answered somewhat fearfully, being asked if the books before him, which contained many accusations against the Pope, were truly written by him. He replied very quietly, "The books are all mine, and I have written more." Then he was asked if he would recant. Again he replied in a voice barely able to be heard, "I beg you, give me time to think it over." Upon this request, he was given 24 hours to consider his answer. According to Christian historians, he gave his heart to prayer and wrote the following, "O God, Almighty God everlasting, how dreadful is this world. Behold how its mouth opens to swallow me up, and how small is my faith in thee. Oh, the weakness of the flesh and the power of Satan. If I am to depend upon any strength of this world, all is over. The nail is struck. Sentence is gone forth. Oh God, oh God, oh thou my God, help me against all the wisdom of this world. Do this, I beseech thee. Thou shouldst do this by thy own mighty power. The work is not mine, but thine. I have no business here. I have nothing to contend for with these great men of the world. I would gladly pass my days in happiness and peace, but the cause is thine, and it is righteous and everlasting. Oh Lord, help me. Oh faithful and unchangeable God, I lean not upon man. It were vain. Whatever is of man is tottering. Whatever proceeds from him must fail. My God, dost thou not hear? My God, art thou no longer living? Nay, thou canst not die. Thou dost but hide thyself. Thou hast chosen me for this work. I know it. Therefore, O God, accomplish thine own will. Forsake me not for the sake of thy well-beloved Son, Jesus Christ, my defense, my buckler, and my stronghold. Lord, where art thou? My God, where art thou? Come, I pray thee, I am ready. Behold me prepared to lay down my life for thy truth, suffering like a lamb. For the cause is holy. It is thine own. I will not let thee go, no, nor yet for all eternity. And though the world should be thronged with devils, and this body, which is the work of thine hands, should be cast forth, trodden underfoot, cut in pieces, consumed to ashes, my soul is thine. Yes, I have thine own word to assure me of it. My soul belongs to thee and will abide with thee forever. Amen. O God, send help. Amen." The next day, Martin Luther returned to the Council of Worms to give answer concerning his writings and whether he would recant or not. When asked if he would repudiate his writings, he replied, and I quote, "Since then your majesty and your lordships desire a simple reply, I will answer without horns and without teeth. Unless I am convinced by Scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God, help me. Amen. Of all the reasons why Martin Luther is held in high regard by many Christians and has been remembered through the history of the church, his boldness stands out as one of the most glaring attributes about him. To say what Luther said and to do what Luther did during the time in which he lived required great boldness. We as believers love and greatly admire such testimonies of holy boldness. We are helped by those accounts which speak of believers standing up for what is right. We are challenged by the boldness of those who live a life without compromise, by those who speak the truth in a world of error and confront unbiblical thinking and unbiblical living. The boldness of the Hebrew midwives in Exodus chapter 1, those who feared God over the king of Egypt, often spark a fire in our soul. The boldness of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refusing to follow Nebuchadnezzar's command to fall down and worship his golden image, encourages us to stand fast in the faith. The boldness of young shepherd boy David, going against a giant who is blaspheming the name of God. This giant who has a sword and shield, but this young boy who goes in the name of the Lord with only a sling and a stone. Such boldness rebukes our fears. The boldness of Stephen, the boldness of Peter, the boldness of the Apostle Paul gives us hope that God will use our boldness to accomplish great things for His honor and glory. But how is it that we acquire such boldness? Is it possible for us to be counted among those who were bold in the cause of Christ throughout the centuries? The answer is yes. It is possible for us to be filled with a holy and humble boldness in a hostile and hate-filled world. And we can be filled with such a boldness if we put into practice the following 5 steps. I would note that these steps that I am about to give you are also the marks of bold women and men who have been commended by God in His Word and held as a hero of the faith throughout church history. How is it that we can be bold? What are the steps that we can take to be courageous for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the first characteristic of a bold Christian, the first step that must be taken in the quest to be bold as a lion, as we read here in Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 1, is living a holy life. Living a holy life. The verse tells us that the righteous are as bold as a lion. Now there is a righteousness which refers to salvation. When one is born again, when one trusts the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse from sin, when one repents and becomes a new creature in Christ, they are then made righteous. No longer does God see them in their sin. No longer does the condemnation of God hang over their heads. But God has freed them from the power of sin and from the penalty of sin. And no longer are they seen in their rebellion, but they are seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are declared righteous. They are declared godly because of who Jesus is. So righteousness is dealing with salvation. But here in verse number 1, Proverbs 28, we have a righteousness which is a holiness. And the writer of this verse tells us that courageousness is directly related to our Christ-likeness. In other words, the more godly we are, the more bold we will be. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Consider the midwives. What was their character? They were righteous. They were holy. They were separated from the things of the world. What about that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What about young David? Well, he was a man after God's own heart. Peter, Stephen, Paul. We read in Scripture that these were men who sought to live in holiness. The fear of God abided on their heart each and every day. And the righteous, the Scriptures tell us, are as bold as a lion. Now, why is that? Well, because when our conscience is pure, there is no guilt. There's no guilt of being a hypocrite when we stand up boldly for the things that are right. Those who have a seared conscience, those who are living a double life, those who pretend to be holy, but in actuality they are not, usually are not those who are bold in their faith. Because if they stand up for the truth of God and yet live opposed to the truth of God, they are standing, as James calls, a double-minded man. But those who are living for the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have a pure conscience, those who are abiding under the shadow of the Most High, are those who are bold in the cause of Christ. So how is it that we can be bold in this world? What are the marks of boldness within those in Scripture? Well, living a holy life is first and foremost. The second characteristic of a bold Christian is an unwavering confidence in the Word of God. And those who are bold Christians are those who view God's Word not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. What was it that gave Luther to stand against his own people? What was it that gave him the boldness to confront the highest of authorities? What was it that gave Stephen the right to call out the wrongdoing of the religious people of his day? The pure, perfect, holy, powerful Word of God. The Word of God is God's will. The Word of God is the mind of the Creator. The Word of God, as we often say, is the final authority of faith and practice. And in the Word of God, there is no gray area. The Word of God records for us, "Thus saith the Lord." It is His revealed will. As Peter calls it, it is the more sure word of prophecy. Some people say, "If only I can hear a voice, if only I could see a sign, then I would know that that is God's revelation." Well, Peter, who was on the Mount of Transfiguration, heard the voice of God. He saw Jesus Christ being transfigured, and he says, in the Word of God, we have a more sure word of prophecy. You see, this book is not a book of religious facts. This book is not like every other book. This book is a living book. Paul tells Timothy that this book is a book that has been breathed out by the Holy Spirit and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction and for instruction in righteousness. Jesus prayed in John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we can be bold Christians if we believe that this is not a book of suggestions, that this is the very word of God. But when we do not believe that, when we put other things over the Word of God, when we put the opinions of men over the Word of God, when we put our own personal thoughts above the Word of God, when we put the writings of others above the Word of God, when we put counsels above the Word of God, it is then that we become cowards. If we want to be bold and courageous as a lion, we must have an unwavering confidence in the Word of God. We must understand that the Word of God has been given to us by God, and it is inspired, and it is perfect, and it is without contradiction. Should we fall prey to this being a book that may have contradictions, we will not be bold. That's why we have many tossed on the waters to and fro, because they listen to the liberal theologians who cast doubt upon the authority of God's Word, and their life is ruined. There's no foundation. But if this is God's Word, if this is objective truth for all of life, we can stand firm upon it. The second characteristic of a bold Christian is that they have an unwavering confidence in the Word of God. The third characteristic of a bold Christian is that they have a continual remembrance of the presence of God. The reality that God is with His people ought to give His people victory over fear and a reason to be bold. Was it not this truth that God used to encourage and embolden the Israelites in Joshua's day? Remember Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Was it not this truth that encouraged the apostles to preach the gospel as sheep among wolves? Matthew chapter 28, the words of Christ, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And was it not this truth that convinced the Apostle Paul that his work was not in vain as he was being ferociously opposed in Corinth? The truth of Christ's presence encouraged his heart so much so that he continued among those who opposed him, and he planted a church. Acts chapter 18, verse 10, for I am with thee, Jesus says to Paul, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. You say, how can I be bold in my witness for Christ? How can I be bold when we are surrounded by such liberal ideology that hates Christianity? How can we speak the truth at work when we are the minority? How can we stand up for what's right in our public schools because we know that Christ is with us? And if Christ is with us, Christ is for us. And if Christ be for us, Who can be against us? You've heard it said, it is the presence of God that casts away our fears. And so we can go into a hostile world. We can go into a world that hates the things of God because Jesus has promised that He will be with us and He will never leave us nor forsake us. There are times church planting in Seattle, evangelizing in South Seattle, evangelizing in what is known as the hood of Seattle. Some would say, don't you know where you are? Don't you know what neighborhood you're handing these tracts out in? And you're by yourself. And I have to confess that sometimes there was a small fear in my heart. But that which kept me going was not my personal effort. It was not my good intentions. It was the promise that Christ is with me. He has promised His presence. He has promised His protection. And it is this truth that emboldens the people of God. It is this truth that grants us strength to do what is right and to follow His will. What are the characteristics of a bold Christian? What are the steps that we can take to being a bold Christian? Well, we need to live a holy life. We need to have an unwavering confidence in the Word of God. We need to have a continual remembrance of the presence of God. And then we need to have a steadfast recognition of the sovereignty of God. That is, we need to continually recognize that God is in control of all things. That God is seated on His throne and no man can thwart His purpose. No man can undo the potter's work. And this is the wonderful promise that we have in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His will. And this is why Christ was so bold before Pilate in John chapter 19, verses 10 through 11, one of my favorite portions of Scripture. Then Pilate, this man of authority, says unto Jesus, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" Catch Jesus' response. Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given from above." How's that for a comeback? Pilate, you are a puny, little, created man. You have no intrinsic power in and of yourself. And the power that you have is only delegated by God. And in an instant, God can take it back. You are standing before the Creator of the universe. You are standing before the Savior of all men. You are standing before the Judge of all people. You have no power at all. You are a puny little ant before my eyes. The sovereignty of God. We can be bold in knowing whatever happens to us, we will be safe. You say, what about all the persecution? What about all those who are martyred? Well, remember Jesus' words. They can kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. We are to fear Him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Why? Because He is sovereign. He is the only wise potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we are emboldened in our faith when we understand that whatever happens, God will accomplish His purposes. And it may seem that we are a failure. We may strive to be bold, and it may seem that we have failed, but God, in His infinite wisdom, can turn things around in an instant and work them for His own good and glory. So we are emboldened by this. We stand against the errors of this world. We hold fast to the doctrines of the Word of God because we know that God is in control of everything. Let me give you the fifth characteristic of a bold Christian. The fifth characteristic of a bold Christian, of the one who is to be bold as a lion, has a humble appreciation of the boldness of Christ. A humble appreciation of the boldness of Christ. Again, here we are again. In my messages, I'm preaching to myself now, I ought to strive to bring all things to Christ. There ought to be a beeline to the cross. Christ ought to be brought out and uplifted somewhere in the message. And here it is, our final point. Well, how is it that we can be bold? What was the mark of those who have been bold in the past? Well, they've had a humble appreciation of the boldness of Christ. We need to understand that Christ was bold for us. If we are His people this evening, He was bold for us. He preached with authority. He preached, though resisted. He preached in such a way that was bold. He was bold in His rebuking error. He was bold in His times of persecution. He was bold in His death, burial, and resurrection. And He went through all that He did to bring us salvation. Christ lived on earth as a bold lion. He was not a sissified Savior, despite what Hollywood paints of Him. He was not a weak man with long flowing hair that just liked and cuddled with everyone. He was a bold man. A man clothed with humility, a man clothed with love, but He was a bold man. And He was a bold man. He was the bold God-man for us. And so certainly, we can be bold for Him. Now, do you think Christ had His hard times in hearing the mockings, the jestings? Do you think Christ, maybe as a man, was embarrassed as He hung upon the cross, naked, with people wagging their heads? And yet, He remained bold. And yet, He did not give in to the circumstances around us. Why? Because of His love. Because He had us on His mind. Not that we are something special, but we are His sheep, those He desired to save. He was bold for us. So why then should we be bold? He deserves it. It is the least that we can do. Luther understood this. Paul understood this. Stephen understood this. Peter understood this. They had a humble appreciation of the boldness of Christ. So they were going to stay faithful. And they were going to live, not for themselves, but for the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, we are living in a day of great confusion. We are living in a day of compromise. We are living in a day of acceptance of all things, and we are doing so among the people of God. Confusion, compromise, acceptance, this all is dwelling among the people of God, and it is vital that we rise up and be bold for the cause of Christ. Now, this boldness is not an arrogant boldness. There is an arrogant boldness. There is getting in another face, in someone other's face, in an attitude that is very unbiblical and very opposing to the spirit of Christ. But I am speaking of a holy, humble boldness. So let's boil this down into the practical. When one in the world asks you, "Are you a Christian? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe that it is the very Word of God?" When somebody in the world whispers in your ear, "Come and join us in our sinful pleasures. Come and join us in our rebellion." When you are tempted to live unholy before unsaved family members and friends, when you are confronting error, when you are evangelizing, how then will you respond? As a kitty cat or as a lion? Oh, we need boldness to live above status quo Christianity. We have too much of that these days, status quo Christianity. Just do the least amount possible. And let's lower the standard. Let's do what we want to do. Let's not become antiquated in our traditions or practices. Let's just do as our own hearts desire. We must be bold to say no. As for us and our church, we are going to do what is right. And we are going to do what is right because we believe the Word of God is true, and we believe that Christ is worthy to live for. He was bold for us, and so we are going to be bold for Him. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. The marks of a Christian, the marks of Christian boldness, and may they be found in our life. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the examples of men and women who were bold. And we know that they were so only by Your grace and strength. We thank You, Father, for how they encourage us. And Lord, our desire is to be like them in their boldness. Not to compromise and not to give way to the subtle airs that whisper in our ears. Oh, Father, may our church be a church that is faithful, a church that is true. Because as the churches that we read of in the book of Revelation, we collectively have a testimony. And it should be our desire that our testimony would be that which pleases You, that we would be a church that holds fast to the things that are true and right. Father, please work these things in our hearts. We pray, Father, Your Spirit would have its way in this invitation time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.